ChristopherRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on the Rock of God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you The Rack, bringing you unique perspectives about the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar, porque no tiene, porque le falta una patita para caminar.
And TNA.
Konnichiwa! Watashi wa Kareman desu. King of Spice desu. Kobashi Kenta. Kitaka Aikuto. Onegai shimashita.
What? Oja Ganemata. How the hell do I know what he just said? What am I, a damn international translator?
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
Let me explain how this thing works. First, you become famous, and then I'll kick your ass. But until then, let's keep it strictly professional.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
This independent, this self-sufficient. Miss, keep your distance. No, miss on her own. Miss almost grown. Miss never let a man help her off her own. So by keeping her heart protected, she never ever feels.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack. And I love the song choice, Rock. Very nice. I like it. Very, very, very nice.
I thought
no,
you would.
We're not pipe bombing on Kelly Clarkson. No.
No, no, we're not pipe bombing on her.
We have if you weren't here last week, we weren't on last week. We took a little hiatus, but we're back, and as you can tell, some things have kind of changed.
Yeah, just a little bit. We had a boob reduction.
Yes, The Rack has had its reduction. Unfortunately, Jackie Feist has left the Wild Talk Radio Network, and she is no longer associated with the show or the network. And I'm sorry to see her go. I believe she had surgery, and so I hope she's feeling better shortly. But at present, yeah. Yes, Jersey, Jackie is gone, I'm sorry to say, and so we are continuing the show on with Rock and myself, and we've made a few changes to the show. We decided we kind of wanted to go in a little bit different direction, right?
Yeah, that's true. We are going to take a little bit of a different direction than what we have done in the past.
Yeah, so we're still going to talk WWE, we're still going to talk all the wrestling stuff, but we're actually, this is going to make Wrestling Fanatic really happy because we're going to do more TNA. Or try to do more TNA.
Yes. We have more TNA in the pipeline for this show, so don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the big news.
That's your big news. You know, you're Miss Polite.
You know, I'm Miss Polite?
You're Miss Polite when it comes to this whole thing. Everyone's okay. Probably wants to know what the whole truth is to this whole Jackie situation.
Now, Rock, you're not going to give the whole truth, are you?
I'm going to give the entire truth. And that's what they call a pipe bomb.
Oh, dear. Well, I guess I can't stop you, can I?
No, you can't stop me at all.
Oh, no.
So, here we go. The reason Jackie Feist is no longer a part of this network is because that, well, if you... A couple weeks ago, she, well, had a conversation with us, and, well...
Good evening. As a result of our actions last week, namely, taking over the show, which apparently we don't have the authority to do, the WWE has demanded that D-Generation X issue formal apologies to the following individuals.
This is stupid, Sean. Why do we have to do this?
Because they said we had to. That's why. First, the entire tag team division of Raw. For single-handedly decimating you...
No, okay, guess. See, now, right there. Honestly, there really wasn't a tag team division very much before we decimated them.
Okay, then. The Spirit Squad. For making you dress up like female cheerleaders.
Now, see, well, now again, we couldn't make those guys look any more like fairies if we tried.
To Jonathan Coachman, for undermining his authority and making him look... To the masterpiece, Chris Masters, for making him look like a... To Edge, for inadvertently costing you your last chance to regain the WWE Championship.
Again, in all fairness, Sean, do you really think Edge was going to win the WWE Championship back last week? I don't.
We only have one more left, and we really haven't apologized to anybody yet.
Yeah, that's my point.
To Cade and Murdoch, for beating you within an inch of your life in the street fight, we would like to take this...
You know what, Sean? That hasn't even happened yet. We don't beat Cade and Murdoch to within an inch of their life in a street fight until later on tonight.
Then what do we do? What are we doing now? I mean, what?
Well, we're supposed to be cutting a promo on live TV.
We're live now?
Now.
Right now?
Right now.
What are we gonna do? Get all your D-Generation X merchandise on WWEshop.com. And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Thank you.
And that is exactly why Jackie Fleiss is no longer part of this Wild Talk Radio Network family. That feels so good, getting that off my chest. I've been holding it in for 2 weeks.
I was going to say, do you feel better now?
I do feel better after pipe bombing. I feel a lot better. It's like a weight's been lifted off my shoulders.
Awesome. Fantastic. Yeah, a happy producer is an awesome producer,
It is. It really is. But we should tell people what's going to happen on this show tonight.
Yeah, we probably should. So, like I said, we've changed a few things up. We're going to kind of preview the show for you tonight. And I don't know if any of you follow us on Facebook, which is Wild Talk Radio.
Network.
Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Network.
Network?
Mm-hmm.
Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank mm-hmm. you. Sorry. I suck at plugs.
You'll get better.
I'll get better. Brock posted a question of the night. And we're going to take a poll in the chat room as well if you didn't respond. So we're going to do this at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
For everyone out there, question of the night. It was announced on Raw that the new GM will be announced on the 1,000th edition of Raw on July 23rd. Who, in your opinion, do you think will be the next GM?
And we've got some interesting responses, not only on Facebook, but on other places I posted. I will put this one out there. Someone said Macho Man Randy Savage.
That's awesome. Yes. Get the Ouija board, man. Get the Ouija board.
Well, we'll get to that later. I have a theory, and I'm going to pose it to people when we get to this topic, and it's going to make you go, what the fuck? And then realize it's going to happen. So stay
yeah,
tuned.
Trust me, we came up with this last night, and he used the word fuck about 10 times in a 2-minute stretch once he realized this was going to happen. So, yeah. But puppet age, yes. Yes, real Kane Kitten's puppet age. Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. But, so keep that in mind. Think about it. But we're going to kind of move on a little bit.
Right.
And we want to talk about what everyone else is talking about, or at least we think they're talking about. So.
Yes.
We need y'all's help in this. Next week, for all our fans out there that are listening, for everybody that's live, for everybody that's on the archive, keep your ears to the pavement. Send us stories at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. You can tweet them to us at Wild Talk Radio, at Linz Ward, LINSWARD. We want to know what you guys are talking about, what you're hearing. So we can talk about him at the beginning of the show, kind of just quick little blurbs and stories and that kind of thing, the big news of the day.
Right.
So definitely send us that stuff. We want to know what you guys are interested in hearing and talking about. So we went through the dirt sheets last night.
We did, and today as well.
And today, because we actually had a big one drop today, thank our luck.
Yeah, and Jersey Girl just brought that up, too, in our chat room at wildtalkradio.com. Click the live button if you're not in the chat room.
Yes, please come in our chat. Interact with our chat, because our people are awesome.
Yes, and that's the key of this show, is to make it interactive with everybody out there.
Yeah, we're doing the interactive thing before WWE gets to it.
Yes.
Yeah!
Yeah, we are.
But the first big story that we saw break today is WWE diva Maxine has supposedly or apparently, whichever you want to go, quit the company. She was not happy with her deal. She was pissed off that she never got above NXT. She never got, oh, God. Me versus Mason, a Texas death match. No, no, that's not going to happen. She wasn't happy with her deal. She wasn't happy with her lack of exposure. So she quit the company today. Rock, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm surprised. I thought from everybody who talks on Twitter and stuff that she was this rising diva. She was making progress. And all of a sudden today it comes across she's quitting the company. I guess some people aren't happy when their careers are stalled in a certain place. I don't know what her talent was, what her experience was before she got to FCW and NXT, but I would think you're on the WWE roster in some fashion and you see WWE putting an emphasis on NXT now and rebuilding characters. You would have had a shot to make it up to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, especially with the potential departure of Kelly, with the departure of the Bellas. They're going to be looking to move people up, so now seems like a silly time to quit. But, it's her deal. It's what she wants to do, although I don't think WWE has confirmed it as of yet.
No, they haven't.
This is just a rumor circulating going around right now. That she has left the company,
mm-hmm.
but
The folks at PWInsider.com are the ones breaking this story, so they're usually good on this. So there'll probably be more coming out in the next couple days.
Yeah, so we'll keep our eye on it. I'm sure they'll talk about it on Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern on Wild Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
It's Wrestle Talk Radio. God damn it!
You've been hosting it enough lately. You should know the name.
I haven't been hosting that show.
You've been on the show.
I've been dragged on there against my will.
Yeah, you have. And it wasn't by me, so.
Yeah, it wasn't by you.
No.
Blame Mace. It's all Mace's fault.
It's all Mace's fault. Hi, Mace. We know you're going to listen to this archive whenever I get it up.
I'm a little nervous, so you'll have to excuse the flubs.
Yeah, she'll give her a few minutes. She'll get into groove. Don't worry.
Sorry now, I apologize to whoever's listening, but
you're doing fine, continue.
Let's see, I guess the next big story is JBL almost kind of fell off a mountain.
He almost did fall off a mountain.
If you don't know, JBL is doing this awesome charity campaign that's now being sponsored by WWE called Seven Summits for Kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going all around the world, and he's climbing the greatest mountains around the world, with I think the last one being Everest.
One of them is Everest, but I'm not sure on the order of everything.
He's hitting seven continents, and he's doing seven mountains, and he's including, which I think is cool, he's getting to go to Antarctica, which I'm jealous of, because how many people can say they've been to Antarctica, seriously?
Not many.
But, he was in Russia. If you haven't been following him on Twitter, which is at JBL or John Bradshaw
Layfield. It's either John Layfield or John Bradshaw Layfield. I'll look it up as you talk.
Yeah. If you don't follow him on Twitter, if you don't follow him on Facebook, he's been posting pictures and updates on his journey through Russia and his journey up the side of the mountain. And I guess they were right below the summit.
Yeah.
A couple days ago, and they encountered a really terrible winter storm.
Yeah, winter storm was coming, and apparently he was getting frostbite. The doctors are scared he would get frostbite, and it's at JC Layfield on Twitter. He posted a video earlier today. We're going to play the audio right now for you. He'll give you the update on his condition and the whole situation going on.
Here we are at about 17,000 plus feet. The peak is 18,511. It's behind us. You can see it. Doc was here on the trip. Had already asked me to turn around. Thought I had hypoxia or a little frostbite. And thought we could make it. And still think we could. But the weather's coming in. And we still have 4 to 5 hours. We've been hiking for over 7. And through the snow, through the darkness, and through it, it's really, really been cold. I'm out of gas, but would love to give it a shot. Possibly the most disappointing day of my entire life. Just beyond comprehension. I can't do anything about the weather. And that's what's forcing us out. That just really sucks. So, live to fight another day. So, get out of here before the storm gets us too bad. Before I get frostbite on these fingers that they're worried about. So, sorry, everybody.
So, yeah. I'm sad to hear that he didn't make it and that they're not going to get to try for the summit, but you know what? He made it pretty close, and I don't know too many people that could climb an 18,000-foot mountain, you know?
I know I couldn't.
So the fact that he even went there and he attempted it, bravo. I give you applause for that, sir. But you know what? I think he has 6 more peaks to go.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they go more successful. We wish him the best of luck. And I think it's 7summitsforkids.com if you want to go donate.
Yeah, donate for a good cause. And this is a good one.
Yeah, this is a very good one. He's trying to help underprivileged kids in his home island of Bermuda. It's a wonderful cause. Go look into it. Definitely donate if you have the funds. Help him out. I think this is awesome because this is something he actually started on his own, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And WWE got behind him on this whole thing. And that's pretty cool of them getting behind a cause like this. For all the, you know, all the talk, negative talk about the company, this is why they're one of the best companies out there, because they get behind good causes.
Yeah.
This is the other side of the company. We might hate the storylines at times, but this is the good side of the company.
Yeah, their charity work is unparalleled and just amazing. And speaking of their charity work.
Good. Good segue.
Thank you. I tried. John Cena still had a couple milestones this week.
He did.
Didn't he?
He really did.
Not only did he grant an amazing 300th wish from the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which is outstanding, he also celebrated his 10th anniversary in the WWE this week.
10 years of John Cena.
Dude, I still remember when he debuted. Still remember it.
Yeah, it was June 27th of this year. He debuted against the one and only Kurt Angle.
Yes.
The whole ruthless aggression.
Yeah, he answered an open challenge to Kurt Angle. He came out in the prototype gimmick with that horrible hair. I went back and watched the videos yesterday, so he had that awful hair. And then he also met Taker, oh my god, it's Taker on that show, I believe, and had any reaction that, you know, any of us would have. He was standing there doing exactly that, oh my god, it's Taker.
Yeah.
So, that's my favorite memory anyway. But yeah, so congratulations to John Cena.
Yes, congratulations to John Cena, because it's 10 years now, and that's a pretty long career for anybody, especially for him being on top like he has. And by the sounds of it, he's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, I picture him being there for the long haul. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he tries to go for 20. I mean, just with his work rate, and he keeps himself healthy. and he's definitely there for the long haul.
There's only a few people who can hang around for 20 years and be on top the entire time. And,
yeah.
And John Cena might be one of them.
Yeah. And good luck to him, and I hope to see more from him. I mean, love him or hate him, he's done wonders for that company. And he hit right when he had to, and he's taken them places that I don't think they would have gone if he hadn't been there.
That's a really good point. They hitched their wagon to him, and for all the negative talk, he's been the star, and he's carried them every single day.
Yeah, and he busts, love him or hate him, he busts his ass. And that's the truth, and it shows.
Yes.
And not only in the ring, outside the ring, with all his charity work, with all his appearances. I mean, he has embraced being the face of the company and has done wonders for it.
He really has. And all power to him, because that's a rough life.
Yeah. I mean, this personal sacrifices he has made, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
So, again, congratulations to John Cena. Now, please just stop being so squeaky clean. We love you.
Well, you know, we're going to talk about that Sunday night on Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yeah, there's some rumors going around about that from what I hear, so I guess we'll have to tune in Sunday night and see.
Yeah, we'll get to that speaking Sunday.
Speaking of salacious rumors...
Oh?
Mr. Salacious Rumor, Mr. Winning, Mr. Tiger's Blood, Mr. Psycho Batshit Crazy himself, Charlie Sheen.
You mean
Winning?
That guy, yeah. Who had a show debut tonight.
Yeah, he did, Anger Management on FX, has been announced as the Twitter ambassador for the 1000th Raw on July 23rd. And all I can say is, good God, I hope he's not actually there, because we will not see the Divas that night. They're gonna lock them in a room and keep him away.
As the Paul Heyman line for Edge was, hide your wives, it's Edge. Well, hide the Divas, WWE, it's Charlie Sheen.
Pretty much. And we think he's only going to be live tweeting during the show,
yeah.
Which... I don't understand, but okay.
We'll get into that later. You know, the theory. We'll get into the whole Twitter theory, but yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get into the whole Twitter theory later, but yeah, Charlie Sheen is just... Yeah, it's just... Yeah. Take it or leave it on that one, man. I just heard that, and I was like, really? Out of everybody you could get, you got Charlie Sheen?
It would have been a bigger deal if you got him last year.
Yeah, I think he was under house arrest last year.
So we would have plenty of time to tweet.
Pretty much.
He was Ustreaming. He could have tweeted for WWE at the same time.
Dude, why could they have gotten Emilio Estevez, man?
That would have been fun.
Mighty Ducks references all night long.
Who doesn't love a Mighty Ducks reference? Come on.
So, yeah. The Mighty Duckman himself, yes. But I have no transition for this other than the 1000th Raw. But, Mr. McMahon. I guess batshit crazy.
He got a bug up his ass for this topic.
Yeah, he did. Mr. McMahon has decided that when Raw and SmackDown are in bumblefuck nowhere, why they book there, I don't know. They're not going to mention the city name.
Yeah, if you didn't realize, they didn't mention where they were this Monday night overall, which was Fort Wayne, Indiana. The chairman believes you not should not say the name of a city if it's not big league enough.
Which begs the question, if it's not big league, why are you booking a show there? A live show that's going to be broadcast.
This is where I'm saying, sorry, Will, no one's going to know that they were in Evansville on Tuesday for SmackDown. I'm sorry, your town's not big enough. Even though Jimmy Rave himself thought it was a good city, it's not.
Yeah. Apologies, Will.
Sorry.
Apologies.
Sorry. But Will was there, actually, at the show, and he apparently had a fun time there. So, There's your shout out, Will, even you know you're probably not watching or listening.
Yeah, and you probably won't listen, but we give you a shout out. Ding! But yeah, this is just, to me, this is ridiculous. I mean, that's like the cheap pop of the night, is they open the show, they show where they are, you know, and it's just a great cheap pop. I mean, what the hell is Mick Foley supposed to do now? What if they're in a small city? Hey, it's great to be here in Indiana!
We're right here in New Jersey!
Yeah, I mean, seriously, why would you book a show if you're not going to mention the city name? And book it in that city?
I have no fudging idea.
You have no fudging idea? Are we nine now?
Apparently, yeah, I'm nine. You know, I like to just, you know...
Because this sure as hell is not a PG show, you know that.
I know, yeah, I know. Well, yeah, I know it's not a PG show. It's far from a PG show. But that's just one other thing I wanted to mention is, you know, apparently they edited out the fudging comment from the replay of Raw on Mon 2. They got rid of the fudging and the 9-year-old comment from the replay. Like, really?
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't explain it. I really can't.
That makes me want to just facepalm. But yeah. And no, they'll probably mention Phoenix for Money in the Bank.
Yeah, Phoenix is a big city.
And but yeah, Money in the Bank is screwed. But we'll get into that later.
We'll get into that later. Yeah, we will. I have another theory. See, I have a bunch of theories I'm going to throw on you guys tonight.
That yeah.
I have theories in my head, and this is a good show to get them on and get them out to everyone. And you guys can all call me nuts and crazy because I know I am.
Yeah, well, that's partially why we love you. But seeing as we did the show last night twice over, we're now going to do it again for real this time.
Yeah, we are. On that note.
Yeah, on that note, we're going to take our first break of the evening, so stick around with us, because when we come back, we've got our TNA Impact reviews. So you are listening to The Rack with Rock and Lindsay, and brought to you by adblock.com, and we will be right back. Nice legs, Daisy Dukes, makes a man go, that's the way they all come through, like, a low cut, see-through, shirts that make you, that's the way she comes.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. And I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement. We get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He stayed with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up, because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Hawk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Hawk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix gone off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels, letting you know that you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
I'm a creek swimming, moonshine sipping, deer skinning, beer drinking, Johnny Cash listening. Long necks and rednecks are my friend. Women, money, whiskey, makeup.
Mr. Storm. How I love these. Oh, I'm sorry. Everybody, welcome back to The Rack. Brought to you by iBlack.com. My name is Lindsay. If you've been haven't been listening and just tuned in, if you were listening, welcome back. Thank you for staying. We love you for that. If you just joined us, welcome.
Yeah, I need to make an announcement. Apparently, when I was pipe bombing, something came over the stream that I was unaware of. Sorry that you didn't. Apparently, you guys didn't get the full pipe bomb on air. I'm sorry. Next time, I'll make sure it doesn't happen. Apologize for the technical snafu.
So really?
I'm sorry.
Really?
I didn't hear it. I just was ranting and raving and, you know, I'm sorry, guys.
Man, place is just falling apart. We go away for 1 week and just shit goes everywhere.
Yeah. What can we do?
You know what we can do? We can make up for it by talking about Impact.
Let's talk about some Impact.
So,
where do you want to begin?
Well, I say we start in the beginning. I mean, they, to me, this was actually a way better show than what it was last week. They're kind of, it's kind of interesting how they're hit or miss on the show, and I think now they're starting to crank up the storylines for Destination X.
Yeah. It was one of those, it was one of those shows where you could see them building stuff, and it didn't feel as fast as last week.
It didn't. It had a much nicer pace, and we got some really, really fantastic matches tonight. I mean, the boys definitely stepped it up, and one of them was the first match, the opener between Mr. Anderson.
Anderson.
Good God, they're fucking shooting off fireworks already? It's not fucking July yet, you assholes. Sorry. 4th of July. Yay.
We're going to take phone calls after we're done. Let us get through the Impact review, then we'll take your phone calls about everything. All right,
yeah.
Everybody.
Let us get through this part of the show, and then y'all are welcome to call. We encourage you to call.
Just let us get through this, because this is the one thing we didn't, you know, prepare.
Yeah, because it's not spoiled anymore.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
live.
Yeah. We didn't, yeah, so let us get through this, and then we'll take your calls. We got plenty of time. We're not going anywhere. Trust us.
Yeah. We'll be here for the duration, but
yeah.
Anyway, before I got really interrupted by a loud explosion, it's Mr. Anderson versus RVD in a really great match.
It was a nice opener. It really was. One thing we should note that they made an announcement. Apparently the 10-minute time limit is now moved up to 15.
Okay, well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Because, and that's even better, because we're going to talk about this later in the review. There's another match announced for Bound for Glory, or not Bound for Glory, the Bound for Glory series at Destination X, but we'll get to that. But this was a good match. I liked the pinfall, how he countered the Green Bay plunge into the pin. It was out of nowhere. It was nice. And RVD gained, 7 points in the...
I believe seven points.
Yeah.
For the Bound for Glory series, so congratulations to him. And then it kind of moved into what I thought was probably one of the segments of the night, where you had Austin Aries come down to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if you want to get more of Austin Aries than what you did tonight, tune in to Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show's archive. They did a fantastic interview with Austin last night, so definitely check that out. But Mr. A-Dub came down to the ring, and he delivered a fantastic promo.
He put over the title. He put over the vision of the whole. He talked about older stars, newer stars coming back. He saw in the back to, you know, go to Destination X. There's a tournament going to be happening to crown a new X Division champion at Destination X. And at this point, he was, well, interrupted by Bobby Roode. And they really went at it verbally.
They did.
And it was really well done.
It was. I mean, they put each other... I definitely bought the match, hook, line, and sinker. I really want to see it now. And they had wonderful intensity. It was just a really great promo all around. And I'm all for guys getting naked in the ring. Saying, I mean, you know, the clothes started coming off, and that's when I really started paying attention, because it's like, hey! Yes, I'm a girl. Deal with it. That's what girls think about when they watch wrestling.
And that's why the show's called The Wreck. Just pointing that out. It was a really good exchange. They were teasing it. They were going to knock the crap out of one another. But Bobby Roode, as the heel that he is, backed away with a smirk and walked away.
Walked away, and so yes, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing this match. And this to me was segment of the night. It was really great.
I would agree with that. It really was a segment of the night. There's another one that was really close, but this one really, was really good. And it's making you want to pay to see this match between the two guys.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it kind of makes me a little sad that Aries isn't in the Bound for Glory series or isn't going to get the shot at Roode for Bound for Glory, because if this match is as good as I think it's going to be, it sucks we may only get it once. And I hope that they build a bigger feud between Roode and Aries for the next couple months.
That would be really good. Then we had, well, what we call the interesting performances of the evening.
I believe somebody in the chat room called it Days of AJ's Lives.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about AJ Lee. We're talking about AJ Styles. You haven't been paying attention to the storyline. Daniels and Kazarian were blackmailing AJ, saying that he was having an illicit affair with Dixie. You can actually tune into the Rack Archives and listen to an awesome interview we did with Daniels a couple weeks ago before the last pay-per-view, actually.
Yes.
Which is still awesome.
It's still an awesome interview.
But basically it was revealed last week that, AJ and Dixie, they aren't having an affair.
No, they're not.
And so, they're helping a pregnant crack addict.
Yeah.
Which, you know, okay. I have to say, bravo on going for the good angle, but really? Really?
It's like,
It's like you should have just run with the natural progression of this and done what everybody was expecting, because it would have been awesome. But, gonna give it a chance, gonna see where it goes, because we're gonna talk about what happened later in the show regarding this, but you had AJ and Dixie talking backstage.
Claire talked about how she met AJ when things were going bad for her, and you know they never met Kaz or Daniels, and they just put it over it that way. And yeah, it. And then we got Kazarian yelling at Daniels for lying about the whole style situation. And there's more to come in that, but with Kazarian.
Yeah, this was kind of actually the brilliant part of this whole thing.
There's good and bad in this whole story, so we'll get to that. One thing we discussed last night, I'm going to talk about before we get to the next match, is the X Division. We went through the roster and we were going like, okay, there's probably going to be an Ultimate X match at Destination X.
Yeah.
Which I think where the whole tournament thing is going to lead up to is going to lead to an X Division, an Ultimate X match. And we went through the roster. There weren't many X Division guys on this roster. There really aren't. And that's a shame, because for years, the foundation of the company was built on the X Division.
Yeah.
So we were basically wondering who would they bring in to help, you know, rebuild this X Division. And well, we got our answer with this next matchup.
We did. For those of you who have been longtime TNA fans, you're gonna know this name. They brought in Sanjay Dutt, which I actually marked for a little bit because it was like, oh my god, it's Sanjay Dutt. Holy crap. He's back. And he faced a gentleman by the name of Rubix.
He faced a man named Rubix. He is Jigsaw in Chikara.
And he's fantastic, by the way.
Yes. They had a really good match.
They did. I mean, hey, WWE, you know all that shit you're trying to do with Sin Cara? This is how you do it. Go watch this match, because, yeah, this was a phenomenally good match. Enjoyed it thoroughly. At least most of it.
The match itself was really good.
The post-match interview afterwards, not so much.
Yeah.
Bless you, Sanjay, for trying, but yeah. I guess they're trying to figure out what more they can do with Christy Hemme, but yeah. Y'all need to potentially look at maybe not doing ringside interviews after the match.
Like 30 seconds after the match. Come out, go to a break, and then do it backstage with Borash and stuff.
Yeah, let them cool down, let them catch their breath, because Dutt was really hard to understand. He was kind of flubbing a little bit, which is understandable. You know, he just wrestled a really good match, so.
Right.
But yeah. Dutt picks up the win. He looked really strong.
And he,
Rubix looked really strong.
Yeah, and Dutt qualifies for the X Division tournament at Destination X.
Which I'm curious to see what they do with this, but yeah. Yay, Sanjay Dutt is at least back. So, yay!
Alright, I'm gonna point out the wrestling fit. We're not saying all. Most. Like, they did one with Brooke Tessmacher, Miss Tessmacher, on the pay-per-view. Wasn't really good. There are some people who can cut one right after a match. Some people can't. The majority usually can't. That's what we're saying. Not saying all. Most. This is just our opinion. If you disagree, that's awesome, because we don't want you to, you know, think alike with us. Because that's, you know, not what we do around here. We have differing opinions.
Really? You had to do it.
I wasn't going there. I really wasn't.
Anyway, moving on. Yeah, the kid with the afro could do it. Dutt had a little bit of a problem with it. Brooke Tessmacher had a little bit of a problem with it. I think it's just depending on what you're used to. And some people, yeah, like Rock says, you know, can, and some people can't. And in that case, Dutt just couldn't. Nothing wrong with it.
Right. Nothing wrong with that at all.
But we'll get to the kid in the afro with a minute, because there was actually a match before this that had some epicness in it as well.
Yeah, but before we get to that, they recapped the gut check with Taylor Hendricks. I believe
they did.
Her name is, and you heard the judges discussing, you know, what would happen if she's ready. Would they buy a pay-per-view if she was on it? Taz thought maybe a few months from now. El Snow questioned it, if she would have a big head and stuff, so.
Yeah, and it was a good segment. It put her over. Definitely made her
yes.
seem better. It seemed more professional. I liked where they're. I liked what they're doing with this.
Yeah. The a lot of the stuff they did with Gutcheck is really good, and we'll get into Gutcheck a little bit more later in the broadcast.
I mean, come on, it has Al Snow.
It has Al Snow and Taz.
God, just forget about it. It's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, it brings me back to the days of Tough Enough.
Tough Enough?
Wait.
When it was actually a reality show and not a fake show?
Yeah, that whole thing.
Oh, okay. And they actually learned how to wrestle?
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, moving on. You saw Bully Ray versus Samoa Joe in the Bound for Glory series match. And this was a decent match. It wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. I really actually kind of wanted to see Joe and Bully go at it. Because you got two big brawlers that can just go.
Yeah, I thought they did well with the time given. They got a lot of time, and their styles didn't mesh completely. It was good. It was good, but you all knew what was coming. The one part of the start of the match I liked was the crowd started chanting, "Joe's going to kill you," and then Bully Ray ducks out and saying, "The crowd's like, he's going to kill me."
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good.
They're going, "Wow, that's awesome."
Well, I hate to say it, but Samoa Joe wasn't the only Joe that Bully needed to look out for in that match, because we had another Joe show up.
Wait, we had another Joe show up?
We had another Joe show up, the other Joe.
You mean
Joseph?
Joseph Parks?
Yeah, Joseph Parks, Abyss's brother, showed up, and what did he do? He smacked a bitch.
He smacked.
I'm so proud of him for.
He really went. Boom! And laid one in on Bully Ray in that match.
He did. And not only did he smack the crap out of him, oh no. We got a match challenge out of this, too.
We did. Basically, what happened was, I tweeted this out, so let me find it on Twitter. You can follow us at Wild Talk Radio and then at Lynn's Ward. We occasionally tweet, I more so than Lindsay, during shows. But basically, what Bully Ray, Joseph Parks had to say was, "Bully, do you know who I am? I'm Joseph Parks, and you are a jackass bully."
Yeah, and I was typing to Rock, "Be a star, man. Be a star." Oh wait, wrong show.
Be a star. So basically, he wants 2 weeks. He wants this all to end 2 weeks. Joseph Parks versus Bully Ray in a fight. I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah, I kind of am too. The match between them at the last pay-per-view was really entertaining. I'm kind of hoping we get a little bit more of a more serious match out of them.
I think we are.
And we see what Joseph Park can do. And also, if we don't get an appearance from Abyss.
Very possible. Why is our chat room talking about Joey Lawrence?
I don't know. They're talking about Joey's. Joey from Friends, Joey Lawrence, Joey McIntyre?
Tyre.
He's got the right stuff, baby. Yeah. They're talking about Joe's. But does anybody remember Just Joe? That's the question.
Just Joe?
Just Joe. If you don't know what it is, Google it. WWE gimmick. Just Joe.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about now. Okay. Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I remember what you're talking about. Anyway, 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to get an awesome match, and it's going to be more of a fight. It's not going to be all that crazy stuff. We saw the pay-per-view. This is going to be more serious, I believe.
Yeah, which is a great progression for this.
Yes.
But moving on, we had more with Claire and Dixie. They talked about the undoctored footage that TNA had posted the real audio. You can go to ImpactWrestling.com and you can see it or listen to it. They've got transcripts.
Do we want
to
play the audio of the unedited phone call?
Do we have it?
We do.
Well, hell, let's play it.
Hello.
Hey, it's me.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. I'm so glad you called. I've been waiting to hear from you. Are you coming this weekend?
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
I'm so glad. I am so glad. Serge is going to be so excited that you're going to be able to make it. But you have to do me a favor. Do not let him know you're coming into town, okay? I've kept this birthday party a secret long enough. He'll know once he pulls up. But up until that point, I really don't want him to have a clue.
There's no way he's going to find out. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great party. I'm excited.
Well, listen, you and Wendy, y'all bring the kids if you can. There'll be lots of families there, kids, jump houses, the whole thing. But I can't tell you what it means to me that you're going to be here.
Well, let me ask you this, something. Since we're driving in, how long do you think it will be before Serge gets there?
Well, I think...
How much time do we have?
You know, let me just... Do you mind if I text you, like, when you're on the road and let you know and just kind of figure that out if you need to hang back a while or whatever? I think I'll have a better idea once we get there.
Yeah, just let me know. Give me a call.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Can't wait.
All right, bye-bye.
Moving on, Kazarian was in the back with talking to Hogan how he's being deceived this entire time. And basically what Hogan told him was to basically, you know, man the fuck up.
Yeah, I was kind of saying that during the whole thing. This is a great acting job by Kaz, but it's like, come on, dude. Come on, man up.
Be a man. Just be a man.
Stop wussing out. Be a man, get in the ring with Daniels, because I was thinking, oh, okay, here we go. They're teasing the split between Kaz and Daniels. I think one is in the Bound for Glory tournament.
Daniels is.
Daniels is, so Kaz will probably go into the X tournament. Well, apparently not.
Well, you never know.
You never know, but, yeah. Basically, Hogan said that Kaz has to be held accountable for his actions, and if he wants to prove himself, he can prove himself tonight. So, it was a good promo, really strong by Kaz. He definitely sold the whole it's not my fault thing.
Yeah, one comment was, what's up with his hair?
It's gone.
It's gone, and it was shaved weird in the back, a little bit. I noticed it too, but anyway. Yes, we're the ones picking up on people's hair now. I think it's all
because
Lindsay's fault.
It's all my fault, yeah.
We talked to her enough, so her, you know, ways are, you know, seeking into our brains.
Yes, I'm taking over!
You are. taking
yes,
over the
Hairgate.
World.
Hairgate even translates over into TNA for the win. But,
we had another little backstage moment with Madison Rayne and Garrett Bischoff and... She was talking about her crush. There are people out there who believe her crush is Earl Hebner.
Go Earl. That's all I can say is go Earl.
That's the rumor out there. It's Earl Hebner.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because if you follow Earl Hebner on Twitter, and yes, he is on Twitter.
It's actually him.
It's actually him. It's at, I think, Earl Hebner. The Earl Hebner, something like that. Look him up.
Yeah, just search for him out.
He's been in a Twitter feud with his son. It's kind of funnier. He was in a Twitter feud with his son. They were shooting insults at each other back and forth when he first got on. It was kind of awesome.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
So, yeah, it's... If it is Earl Hebner, all I can say is go for it, man. Just go for it.
It will no longer be, he didn't screw Brett, but he screwed Madison. Anywho, we had another little backstage bit with Brooke Hogan, Miss Tessmacher, and she's now the spokeswoman for Direct Auto.
Does that mean we'll get another crappy commercial?
Filmed at the TNA studios? Offices?
Yeah.
Yeah, the TNA offices?
Yeah. There's not much to say about this other than Gail Kim showed up and demanded a rematch, and Brooke basically told her to F off.
And they'll get the, she gets the match next week on Impact. It's Gail Kim and Miss Tessmacher, because you can't call her Brooke, for the Knockouts Championship live on Impact next week.
Hoo hoo.
I'm going to say this now. This was a better Brooke segment.
This was a better Brooke Hogan segment. She gets better every week, which is great. You know, obviously, the first time was nerves and lack of exposure. She's getting better every week. She's getting more comfortable. I would imagine people are working with her and helping her, and that's what they need to do. I'm still not quite buying Brooke Hogan. But at least she's improving, and she's not getting worse.
Yeah. There were some lines they did. I'm not going to get into them. Let's move on to our next match.
Yeah, moving on to our next match. We had the next match in the X Division title tournament, and it features two guys I had never heard of, Rashad Cameron, who was Afro Guy, and Mason Andrews. And... dude, they need to sign both of them. They really do, because they're fantastic. Yes, Afro Samurai. Yes, that is what he will be called now, Afro Samurai.
The Rashad guy, he's the one who was representing the 215, yo, from Philly.
Your hometown boy.
Hometown boy, represent, yo.
Don't ever do that again.
Rashad,
please tell me you didn't do the hand gestures.
No, I didn't.
Thank God.
Why would I do hand gestures? Just that. Just for the sake of throwing things out there, Mason Andrews is better known on the indie scene as Scorpion Sky. We told you about Rubik's, known as Jigsaw, and Rashad Cameron works as BLKGs. Those are
Rashad Cameron's better.
Yeah.
Stick with that one, dude. Stick with that one.
So, just to catch you up on who is who in the entire... good match. X Destination X.
I have to say...
Go ahead.
That I applaud this move by TNA that they're bringing in X Division style wrestlers for this. I hope they keep them around. I hope they build the division back up, because it's great to see that style of wrestling. It's exciting to see that style again in TNA.
And I'm just hoping it's just not for this pay-per-view that they have an actual focus back on the division.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys were to rebuild your X Division and put that back on TV, it would be awesome. And also, please bring back Petey Williams. I want Petey Williams. You brought back fucking Sanjay Dutt. I want Petey Williams. I demand it. I'm done.
And the one thing I liked about Cameron is he actually had some personality to him.
He did. He really did. He was one of the ones that cut a better promo.
Yeah. He was the one who cut a really good... he cut a promo even though... it was stereotypes all around, but it was good. But he's he's a character.
It's basically, I'm going to win the X Division title. That's basically what it was. But it worked. For what it was, it completely, totally worked.
It did, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of him at Destination X.
And on this note, I'd like to just mention that because Hemi did another interview. Does Hemi own a dress with a front on it?
No, because you got to remember, it's for the pan-up shot.
Dude!
That's what they do.
I know that's what they do, but God damn it! I've seen enough of her boobs. She did fucking Playboy. We've seen it. Put it away.
Hey, you have males who have no shirts on every single match. You gotta give us a little boob.
Not every... every week. I mean, those things, double stick tape. She must have stock in it. That's all I can say. I mean, seriously, every show, her boobs are literally hanging out.
And there's nothing wrong with it. It's on air for 2 seconds. 2 seconds. That's it. You get naked men all the time. Or half-naked men all the time.
But that's expected.
Come on, you gotta give us a little bit.
Fine. I'm just curious. It's like every show. She wears the exact same dress where it's literally crotch length and her boobs are hanging out the front. It's like, did you corner the market on those dresses or what?
She must have a deal.
She must. I don't know, but yeah, I'm sorry. It's just a trend I noticed. It's like, and she wears the same boots every show too. Wardrobe. Anyway, going back to the show, my little mini rant.
Speaking of, you know, we go from the boobs to, you know, your squee, James Storm in the back with Jeff Hardy and Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
See, we're allowed to have boobs, you get James Storm, okay? It's a fair trade.
Storm was dressed, which made it even better.
But it's a fair trade-off.
I know it's a fair trade-off.
Okay.
You can have your boobie.
Thank you. Well.
Wait, I've already done that.
Basically, he's getting better. Apparently, they don't have an idea for the people, but it was basically to get Sting off TV. And not in the Bound for Glory series, but basically happened.
And I would actually like to rant on this just a little bit, because the ninjas were to get Sting off TV. You know what? All you had to do to take Sting off TV is say, I'm really honored by this Hall of Fame induction. I'm really honored to be selected for the Bound for Glory series, but you know what? I've achieved so much in my career. I want to give back now, and I want to give back to the younger guys in this company, so I'm going to forfeit my spot in the Bound for Glory series and give it to one of the younger guys in hopes that he can succeed and make it to this same level that I have. And that's all you had to do! That's it!
But instead, we got ninjas.
Brought in ninjas. What the fuck, y'all? I don't know what you were doing in the writing room, but don't do it again. Remember, rugs are just bad. They're for WWE creative only.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, we will.
Here's the thing that happened. They announced next week's main event is going to be James Storm versus Jeff Hardy in another Bound for Glory series match.
It should be interesting. I mean, Storm and Hardy have worked before, and they work fine.
Yeah.
They'll probably give it to you. I don't think Hardy's picked up any points in the series yet, has he?
He did last week over RVD.
So, yeah,
it may be one of those things we talked about. It may be one of those time limit draws.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I think. But they're going to face eventually. That's the whole thing.
The whole part of the tournament is everybody faces everybody once in this tournament.
Yeah. So, we get Storm and Hardy out of the way early. It should be a good match. They work well together.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God Hardy didn't have the atrocious paint on tonight. Yeah, on his eye kind of freaked me out, not gonna lie.
Up next on the show, we got Gut Check.
Which was probably the second best segment of the night.
Yeah.
I really like how they do these segments. They all look really good, and I loved her hair. I'm sorry, I wish I could pull off pink hair. I really do, because it was kind of awesome.
It was more red than pink.
She had she kind of had like a red undertone with like a pink, like the top part of her hair was pink and then the underside was red.
And it matched with her bright outfit, too. It worked.
Oh, yeah, it totally worked.
She has the look of a female wrestler. Give her that. But anyway, in this whole segment, basically, they wanted to know if the judges made up their mind and whether she was going to get a contract with TNA Wrestling. They went to Taz first. He said yes. Al Snow talked about how long he's known her. And it's been a while. I believe he trained her in OVW a few years ago. And then somebody showed up, Lindsay.
Yeah, Mr. Personality, Mr. Jackass, whatever you want to call him, Joey Ryan showed up and had a confrontation with the judges about his ejection from Gut Shack a couple weeks ago, which I actually kind of like that they're using this for the storyline and they're bringing him in that way. The only thing I wish that had happened is to see her, Taylor Hendricks, get out of the ring, shove Snow and Taz out of the way, and smack the high holy crap out of Joey Ryan and tell him to piss off that it was her moment. I would have marked so hard for that.
That would have been fun.
Just be like, screw you. You didn't get it. It's my turn.
My turn now. Get out of my way. Stop trying to steal my spotlight.
This is my time, and I'm hungry, and I'm ready to prove myself.
Yes.
Yeah, somebody go get me some chicken wings. But sadly, that didn't happen. And instead, security removed Joey Ryan. And they all got back in the ring. Everybody apologized. They excused for live TV. And Snow said no. And then they handed the mic over to the tiebreaker, Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah, what they call this is the kick-out moment for her, where they give Taylor Hendricks the moment to, well, plead her case one more time.
Yeah, which, she cut a decent promo. It wasn't too bad. It needed a little work. But, I mean, it was pretty good, and then they handed the mic back to Pritchard.
Yeah, Pritchard basically said she's green and experienced, and he questioned if she was tough enough. Good use of words there, with all those people in the ring. But he also said she has the heart, desire, and class. And then he said yes.
Yeah, so Taylor Hendricks is your newest TNA knockout, so let's see what they do with her from there. But I thought this was a really great segment.
It's well done. I never saw the first one with Ric Flair. I'm not sure how this one compares, but I thought these segments have been good, all the ones I've seen.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, there's something about, you have Snow and Pritchard add a little bit more legitimacy than Taz does, and that's not to knock Taz at all.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have Snow out there who's the, you know, executive vice president of talent relations, essentially, for TNA. And I forget what Pritchard's title is, but they're not active wrestler rosters. And the only time you see them is in association with Gut Check.
Yeah.
So there's legitimacy to that because of that.
Pritchard is talent relations and some sort of creative, whatever. Blah, blah,
yeah.
Blah. Can't remember the full title. But yeah, Taz is the with the one with the wrestling experience, more so, you know, that's the gimmick they go with, and they're the two office guys, and yeah, it works.
It totally works. I'm really digging how they're doing their segments, and I hope they continue it. I hope they keep going with it, and they continue to build their roster. So, I like it. I thought it was a great segment.
Yeah, it's one, and they've been improving as they go on, so that's good.
And it's nice that they're not keeping it only to men. It was nice that they had a girl as well.
Yeah.
That was really refreshing to see, and it was an actual female wrestler. It wasn't a wannabe.
It wasn't a diva.
Yeah, it wasn't a diva. It was an actual female wrestler, because chick can go. Not going to lie. Needs a little help, but chick can go.
She has potential. Yeah.
She held her own in the match against Tara.
She did. And Tara was a good opponent. She's a good opponent if they ever bring, they want to, you know, try for the women, get them up. She's the perfect woman to test them out.
Yeah. Because I wouldn't want to meet her in a dark alley. She'd probably kick my ass. But let's see. After that segment, they had a backstage segment. Lost my spot.
Angle and Styles had a little backstage pump me up segment where, you know, my head's in the game, I'm focused, I'm ready, I'm determined, I'm ready to do this, I'm ready to kick Daniel's ass, and it's going to be Daniels and Styles in a last man standing match at Destination X.
Which will be really good.
Another one that's going to be good is Kurt Angle and Joe at Destination X.
Yes. Yes, that will be, even though they've done it 100 times before, Joe and Angle you can't go wrong with.
And the way Joe's performing now, he's back on this game, it should be really good.
Yeah, now that Joe's remotivated again, oh hell yeah, bring it on.
And Angle seems motivated now too.
Yeah. So, looking forward to see, I'm actually looking forward to Destination X. I'm really looking forward to seeing it, so here's hoping it's good.
Here's hoping it's good. Because, well, anyway, I keep saying we'll talk about it. We're going to talk about it anyhow, the WWE Money in the Bank. We got some thoughts we're going to put out there. But it's main event time.
Well, before main event, that's not the only thing we have to look forward to.
Oh?
Oh, guess who else we're going to hear from next week?
Who?
Chris Sabin!
That's right. They're going to speak to Chris Sabin next week after his torn ACL.
Yeah. Poor bastard.
Yeah.
Poor, poor, poor thing. I feel so bad for him. Get well soon, man. That's all I can say. Just get well soon. Come back, please, because I miss you at least. But anyway, we go to the final match of the night, the main event, which was a tag match.
Yep.
Between Angle and Styles and Kaz and Daniels. And Kaz and Daniels did a really great job of playing up the divided.
Yeah, some of their tags tonight, whew.
Yeah.
Kazarian went right to slap the, you know, slapped him really hard tags. And Daniels, you know, saw Kazarian wasn't into it and just tucked himself in. It was a really good match.
Yeah, it was a great match with a really interesting finish. Rock, do you want to talk about it?
Basically, what the finish was, the referee took a bump through the ropes, and God, he went through the ropes and got stuck and then fell over onto the outside. They brought a chair into the ring. Daniels was going to use it. Kazarian came in, stopped him from using the chair, and Kazarian flipped off Daniels, left the ring. Styles then sets up for the Styles Clash. Then Kazarian, out of nowhere, comes back into the ring and nails on the back with the chair. Daniels covers Styles for the 1-2-3. And we have new TNA Tag Team Champions.
Yes. I love this finish. Absolutely loved it. Thought it was great. It was a wonderful setup the whole night. Great, 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 great booking on their part.
Really good storytelling in this match. From all the parties involved. After the match, Daniels then grabbed the microphone and pointed out that Claire is pregnant.
And who's she pregnant by?
AJ Styles.
I'm waiting for Alan's head to explode. Because I imagine he yelled and threw things. Yeah, they actually went there, folks. They really actually went there.
And the way she reacted might be true.
Does anybody know if that's actually his wife? I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I know his wife's name really isn't Claire, but I have to kind of wonder if that's not his wife playing that part. I could be wrong, though.
I'm to Google.
To Google.
To Google. See, his wife's name is Wendy Jones. But I don't know if it's his wife or not. Just comes up with Wendy Jones is the name of the spouse.
But yeah, basically, that was the close of Impact. AJ Styles got a woman pregnant out of wedlock, and they're going to have a baby together. So, yeah, they went there with this, and you're just sitting there going, okay.
Jerry.
Somebody get Springer, man. This shit's getting deep.
Yeah, it really is.
But yeah, so I mean, overall, despite that, I liked the show. I thought it was really entertaining. It was great to watch.
Yeah. If you want to call in now before we get a break, we'll take your phone calls as we finish up this segment. You know the number 267-297-1397, or you can Skype and we'll bring you onto the show just to, if you have any comments about TNA, and we'll talk about it. And we do have a call on the line, caller. Welcome to the rack.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
What's up?
Nothing much. How are you?
Pretty good. I figured you need an extra set of, like, an extra rack set on here since, you know.
So what's on your mind?
Well, we appreciate it.
What's on your mind?
Actually, it was kind of funny because when you were running down the TNA stuff, last week my friend asked me, like, he goes, what do you think the big secret is? I was like, watch. It's like the whole secret is that she was planning a surprise party for Surge and it just got out of hand. And sure enough, like right before Impact came on this week, what happened? The birthday party. So yep. I was like, wow, I pretty much called that. But I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, that was just, yeah, that whole thing. It's like, really? Really? Okay. Let's see where you take this.
I just thought it was funny because I was like, wow. He goes, really? I just kind of said that last week. I was like, are you guys like streaming my MSN message conversations with my friends and figured out, okay, we're just going to do the Surge thing and have it be a surprise party.
We kind of wonder that about WWE and our Skype calls.
Yeah. I was like, okay, dude.
Yeah, it's kind of freaky. So did you watch the show at all this week?
TNA or WWE?
TNA, because that's what we're talking about right now.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
What'd you think of it?
Yeah, what'd you think?
It was interesting. I mean, the whole thing with the gut check challenge... I actually went looking, like, during the middle of after that segment, I went looking for, OVW stuff, because I know Taylor Hendricks is with OVW.
Mm-hmm.
She's actually a really good wrestler in OVW. She was the women's champion until they took the belt off of her, obviously, because they pretty much figured that they were going to use her in TNA.
Yeah.
Alex Silver, who was the one that got the contract, the first gut check, he's in OVW too.
Yeah.
So
I think
It doesn't make any sense of why they're like holding him off of TNA and saying it has to do with being from Canada because he's been in OVW for a while now.
There's more to that story, but there's more reason why they're keeping off. It's not because of Canada.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I've seen him in OVW. I was watching some of the stream of OVW after TNA went off and before the show came on. So I was like, oh, go watch OVW. Some of it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely doing something different with it. I remember when went to a couple WWE OVW shows and I've watched the TNA version and it's definitely different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, They're a good solid program there, so you're gonna get some quality people out of it.
Yeah. And I agree, Hora, I was so excited to see Sanjay Dutt back, cause I was like, oh yes, you know, finally someone's like a high flying wrestling, you know, the guy that can do it.
Yeah, I was sitting there going, is that who I think that is? Oh my god, that's who I think that is! That's really Sanjay Dutt! Holy crap, he's back!
But I have one better for you. There is a wrestler, and I know he's done Dragon Gate USA, he's done some other shows. He goes by the name of Ophidian. And if you go look him up on YouTube, this guy is unbelievable. I mean, he's kind of like Cody Man in a way, but he's really, really like a high flyer type of guy. I mean, yeah, what Brian's saying in the chat, yeah, he's that guy. But he is incredible to watch live. I actually saw him on last Friday night at a wrestling show. Mm-hmm. And the guy is unbelievable to watch. It is just incredible. And he actually ended up really, which was interesting about the Ophidian guy I'm talking about, he actually ended up, the power went out, because that was the time we were having the storm in New Jersey, Philadelphia area. The electric went out, and they actually wrestled 3 matches in the dark, and Ophidian was one of the matches, and he was doing, like, spots out of the ring, like, high-flying out of the ring in the dark, and we could hardly see anything. It was awesome.
Fun experience, huh?
Yeah, I mean, talk about dark matches. You have no idea. We've actually seen dark matches now.
Dark matches, old school style.
Yeah, like literally in the dark matches.
Yeah. Anything else on your mind?
No, not really. I just figured I'd call in because I was bored and I don't have to go to 2.5 months. So I can.
Yay!
Well, we're gonna. And we got others.
Okay, I have to take.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, Jersey. All right. Take care. Bye.
Yep.
So there you go. Overall opinion on tonight's show, Lindsay?
Like I said when we started, I liked it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really, really good. Definitely improvement from last week. I hope they keep this up. Like, I hope they keep the intensity that they had tonight up.
Yeah, I'm with you.
If they keep doing that, I think it will really help them. But I'd give it a solid B, B+.
Yeah, I'll give you their B. I'll say a B for this week.
Okay. Yeah.
It was a solid show, and... Yeah. I like it. It's getting better. It's really getting better.
Yeah, it's really getting... Yeah. I don't want to repeat you, so...
Yeah, I... don't... You know. Me and you, yep. Seeing eye to eye.
Yeah, never a good thing, but yeah. On that note, I think we can see eye to eye on taking a break, can't we?
I think we can, yeah.
So on that note, we are going to be taking a break, and when we come back, we're going to be having our Tweet of the Week, along with some awesome discussion topics in which just another goddamn wrestling show host, Brian Blotty, will be joining us. So everybody stay tuned. We will be right back, and you're listening to The Rack, brought to you by iBlack.com.
Athletes, both professional and amateur, know that sun glare is an athlete's worst nightmare. The fine folks at iBlack.com have created and patented glare-reducing under-eye patches known as iBlack to help improve performance and the entire game day experience. iBlack is used by athletes in Major League Baseball, Major League Lacrosse, and Minor League Baseball. iBlack has proud partnerships with many professional athletes in motorsports, the National Football League, and even WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels. Show your support for your favorite athlete and team by purchasing the innovative iBlack products from iBlack.com. That's iBlack.com, the official iBlack of athletes and fans alike.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, man. What's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Can't brush them teeth since 1983.
Well, that ain't good.
The drummer from the Vipers only got one arm.
You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say?
Now, don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on wildtalkradio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But, there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait and made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Yeah, I get it, you're an outcast. Always under attack, always coming in last. Bring it up the bass, no one owes you anything, I think. You need a shotgun blast, a kick in the ass, so paranoid. Watch your back!
And welcome back to the Rack on Wild Talk Radio, brought to you by iBlack.com. If you're just joining us, thank you so much for joining us. My name is Lindsay Ward. I'm joined by my producer, Sir Rockin, and we have another member. I think I have to say his name three times, though. Brian Blotty. Brian Blotty. Brian Blotty.
What do you want?
Welcome to the show, sir.
Do I have to throw somebody off a banister?
Only if you really want to.
Sweet.
We leave violence and mayhem optional. You know, it's we don't make anybody do that what they don't want to do. But so yeah, if you were listening before the show, we talked some Impact, we talked some light WWE news, and now we're going to go into our new segment. If you're a fan of the show and you've listened to us in the past, we had a segment called Sheik Tweet of the Week. We've now kind of changed that just because the Iron Sheik has been kind of quiet lately.
Yeah.
So we've now been going to Tweet of the Week.
And we have a little bumper to get us into the mood for it.
We do?
We do.
Awesome!
I found this earlier today, and, well, yeah.
Turn us on, Sir Rockin'.
I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Awesome.
It's a 3-minute song, honestly.
I want the name of that song because I want it now.
I'll send it to you after the show.
Okay.
She's addiction.
Best. So I don't have mine yet because as usual I went looking on the break. So Brock, do you have one?
Yes, I found this earlier tonight from CM Punk. 30 minutes of ropes on my roof, blasting the Misfits in a Speedo, Springfield, Illinois. I'm coming for you like Booker T was coming for Hogan.
Very nice. Brian, I don't know if you had a chance to get one.
I have not had a chance to get one. I am looking one up right now.
Okay. I'll do this. This is from, it's not necessarily Tweet of the Week, but it just kind of makes me smile and laugh. It's from AJ Lee, and she tweeted a couple days ago, "Man, skipping really takes it out of you."
I actually have one now.
Skipping.
Okay, go ahead.
Skipping takes a lot
skipping.
Out of you.
Well, you know, Kate dumped her, so she's not doing that anymore.
No more sexing of the face?
No more sexing of the face.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it's from Kevin Steen. He tweets, "Bitch, cunt, fuck, balls, feet, Burt Reynolds, apple tree, god, cock, silver dragon." And then follows it up with, "I'm sorry, my account was hacked."
Nice!
Speaking of Kevin Steen, if you didn't see him in action, go to ROHWrestling.com and order the replay of Best in the World Hostage Crisis. It was a really good iPay-per-view that actually streamed the entire time.
Wow!
I know, it's amazing.
Swear to God, it streamed the entire time.
It's amazing what can happen when you make sure that things work.
I know, right?
Double check shit. It's always a win.
Yeah. So anyway, we have some topics we want to get into tonight, Lindsay.
Yeah, we have some topics we want to get into tonight, and I think I want to start with the top one since I brought her up for a segue, purely for a segue. Saga continues. We had more in the AJ, Punk, Kane, and Brian storyline, and you knew I was going to brought it up because this is the Kane show, and he's got to get mentioned at least once. So here we go.
I have to say that the way that it's written in the document, it says, "Where does the square go from here?" which I was amused by, and then it immediately made me go, "Well, they have to remake Final Fantasy VII. Wait.
Well, it's not a love triangle because there's four people involved, so it's a love square.
It is a love square.
So, with the breakup of Kane and AJ, which made me have a sad, where do we go in from here? What do you think Punk had to talk to her about, and what do you think is going on between her and Brian as far as, if anybody's read the SmackDown spoilers? Close your ears now, if you haven't. Brian screwing AJ over tomorrow, and where they're going with it from here.
Yeah, we should also mention, since we're spoiling things, spoiler alert, AJ is the special guest referee at Money in the Bank's WWE Championship match between Daniel Bryan and CM Punk.
Yes.
I'm going to let you, Lindsay, start this off, because this is your topic.
This is my topic. I honestly don't know where it goes from here, but I'm semi-curious about where it goes. It's kind of one of those things where I asked Rock, could you have it be, because we were talking about Money in the Bank, because it obviously takes place at Money in the Bank. And we were trying to figure out the qualifications to cash in the Money in the Bank for a title shot. And I was kind of thinking, maybe does AJ screw Punk over? Does she screw Brian over? Does she screw both of them over? It's kind of trying to feel it out and figure it out at this point. And has Kane been spun out for good? So, Brian, what were your thoughts on that?
There's a few different places they can go, but it's not obvious, which I think is actually refreshing for a change. It's not obvious in which direction they're going to go. So it is one of those things where I had a friend of mine say that, like, before Monday, stated that it would have been genius to have it be that AJ was playing everybody and was actually with Chris Jericho all along, and Jericho was basically using AJ to create this love quadrangle.
Love quadrangle of epicness.
Yes.
Yes. And so he's just using it to... He was basically using it to play them against each other to wear them down so that he could just sneak in the back door and become WWE champion. Now that's pretty much gone out the window.
Yes,
but
because he's Bon Jovi now.
Yes, because he is Bon Jovi. He is living on a prayer.
But is he wanted dead or alive? That's the question.
You know, I don't know. He hasn't broken the walls down. But... But honestly, where I'd like to see it go is I would like to ultimately see her end up with someone at the end of this, but I have a sneaky suspicion that it's going to be bitch be crazy and she's going to end up with somebody new when everything is all said and done. They're just going to hook her up with somebody new that's debuting, maybe Damian Sandow, who will be like, I understand this fine young lady. And you're like, well, it's nice to know that someone does.
He's going to hook up with a crazy chick. Well done. Well, I mean, do you think at this point, with the breakups, because we kind of figure Punk's getting ready to dump her.
Yeah.
I mean, does that happen at the pay-per-view?
Either before
the match or after the match?
I could see it happening before the match just for her to try to screw Punk. But at the same time, if Punk's smart, he would wait until after the match because you don't want to... You don't want to make your champion look like an idiot. Like, you don't break up with the referee prior to the match.
Unless.
That's a really bad strategic move.
Unless. I'll pose this scenario. Daniel Bryan breaks up with her... How many weeks are before the pay-per-view? One or two?
Something like that, yeah.
It's two.
So either this week or next week, he breaks up with her, and then Punk eventually breaks up with her at the pay-per-view. Then she's completely broken up, and... It would kind of not make CM Punk look like an idiot.
That's true. But at the same time, like, what's Brian really going to say to her? Is be like, we broke up, like, last year. Stop following me around.
I dig crazy chicks, but, you know.
Well, I mean, you could always have Brian just get over more as a heel and be like, haha, you fell for it, I've been playing you the whole time. You know, kind of thing. And I'm just curious, you know, with the breakups, do they end the storyline there? Does it continue on where she cracks and goes after one of them or goes after all three of them? Because I'm kind of curious to know if her behavior becomes more erratic as it has continued to do and she starts maybe stalking.
I actually was just thinking of something cool that they could do. This is fantasy booking, so ignore this, listeners. You can just be like, okay, this isn't actually going to happen. But have it be like this coming Monday, have Kane end up backstage just decimated, bleeding all over the ground. And it turns out that AJ's having someone take people out. Like, it's basically alluded to the fact that did AJ do this or... Could AJ even do this? Could she conceivably have done this? And then have each of the guys that break up with her succumb to this attacker. And then have the attacker be revealed as AJ's new love interest.
Or could you even have AJ doing it herself, or maybe she's drugging them or something like that?
I think I would end up going and debuting somebody like Tyler Black, somebody that would need to have a manager because he's not great at speaking. Have somebody debut that actually is new and give a new face. Or maybe have Zack Ryder be like, hey, I dug crazy chicks. I was into Eve. And I wasn't on TV. Fuck it. There you go. Zack Ryder heel turn. He's irrelevant now anyway.
Oh, God. That's terrifying.
Hashtag deep pushed.
Hashtag future endeavored soon.
You know it.
It's okay. He can join Johnny on the unemployment line. Well, I mean, here's the other question. They, like I said before, they've it seems like they've spun Kane at least out of it for right now because he's going into Money in the Bank.
Right.
Yeah.
And do we think that we'll see any shenanigans with Money in the Bank in the WWE Championship version?
With AJ?
With AJ. Or with Punk or with Brian or with anybody.
No, I don't think so.
No, I'm with Brian. I honestly don't think she gets enough there. Even though the breakup happened, it might be just through Money in the Bank, and it could be revealed that Kane is using her. And he gets back into the title picture. You never know. Kane might be in the title picture for SummerSlam.
I'd be okay with that. Shocker, shockers.
Shocker, shockers. Here's the thing. If you haven't noticed, WWE seems to be really high on AJ right now.
Yes.
They do.
For good reason. Like, she's one of their hottest performers. Like, you really can't de-push somebody that's that over and that good at what she does. It's one thing to de-push Zack Ryder because he's a one-trick pony, but AJ's shown a lot of depth in her character. And it's hard to be like, okay, she's showing way too much depth, let's take her off screen. That's a bad idea.
It's a bad idea, it really is. But, you know, it's WWE, they're known for doing that, pulling back on something that's hot and stuff like that. But she's really over with the crowd. And it looks like they, and that's why I think she's involved in WWE title picture at Money Bank. It's they know they have something in there, and they're trying to strike while the iron's hot with her. When was the last time you could say that about a diva?
God, karma for the 20 seconds she was on screen before she's like, "I'm pregnant."
Pretty much, yeah. And even then,
it wasn't much.
I would go back farther and maybe say Mickey James Trish.
And how many years ago was that?
Yeah, I mean, just the development that AJ has shown, I have to give her props. I mean, because if you think back to where she was at WrestleMania and you look at her now, the transformation is nothing short of astounding.
She's gone from, like, the pretty girl in the corner that just smiles and makes googly eyes to, like, this fully developed character that has emotions and has a psychosis and has all of these crazy little tics that make the character so much better than it was. She went from being somebody that was eye candy to being somebody that actually has a purpose and has a reason for existing.
Right. And that's why I kind of wonder if they're not going to move forward with her after Money in the Bank, if she's not going to be start playing a bigger role, or if they're going to pull back on her. Because just the way that they're doing this, I know a lot of people are saying that the storyline is wrapping up, it's done, but I don't know.
I think even if the storyline wraps up, they're going to have to find something else for her. It's why I think they should end up hooking her up with somebody else, because at least then she'll have a prominent role and she'll be able to use some of that rub that she has to somebody that can actually use it and utilize it to get further up the card.
Yeah.
Like, you give it to somebody that is new and nobody's seen before, but is an internet, like, somebody the internet is behind. Kind of like Oksana and Antonio Cesaro, only actually this character actually matters and actually has a rub to give. They immediately become prominent. They immediately, the day they debut, they become a prominent member of that roster just because they're with AJ.
Now, do you keep her manager or do you have her go back to wrestling again?
I think a little bit of both. I don't think that you have to pigeonhole her. I think you can have her wrestle in the Divas division, but have her be alongside the man that she's managing.
Yeah, I'm with Brian on that. Because, well, if you look at their division right now, it's lacking. So having her do both will keep her on TV, and it will spotlight her when she gets into the ring.
Yeah, and she's already, like, on half an hour of the show anyway. What's putting her in a 2-minute Divas match going to hurt? It's going to be a 2-minute Divas match and a 15-minute segment with her boyfriend or significant other.
Right.
But she's going to get the good amount of TV time anyway.
know, here's the thing that I found interesting is, on Monday it seems like she almost got a little overexposed just because she was involved in the match and then Kane broke up with her and then she had backstage segments with Punk and she didn't have one with Brian.
No, but she had one with the mirror at the start of the show.
She had one with the mirror at the start of the show and then she had the match. So it just, it seems like, you know, she was maybe a little bit overused Monday.
Yeah, that's a WWE thing, though. Once they get behind somebody, they get fucking behind them. They've done this everybody that they get behind. It's like, they will overpush the shit out of anybody that they think is hot. So, like, I think they'll start pulling back on that as she cools, and she will naturally cool as a performer if they push, continue to push her like that every week. Like, naturally, the crowd will get worn out by her and pull back a little bit.
All right. Two, three segments, short segments is enough.
Yep.
Yeah, but definitely looking forward to Money in the Bank, at least what she does in the title match. But hey, as far as Money in the Bank, as far as the title go, what are y'all's thoughts on the championship Money in the Bank, where they made one of them former WWE champions only?
Let Brian go first, because I...
Yeah, Rock's going to rant on this, so Brian, you go first.
This is insanely limiting. Insanely limiting. A, they've already only announced four guys involved in it, and a four-man Money in the Bank match is going to be boring as shit, especially when you consider the only person that can conceivably bump in that match is Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena is not an expendable character. He cannot take the bumps that are needed of him without them risking fucking everything. So Cena can't take the bumps. Big Show's too big to really do much. Kane can take the bumps, but do you really want Kane taking these massive bumps off a ladder? So you're stuck with Jericho having a match with a ladder while John Cena, Kane, and Big Show just kind of push it towards him. Here, have a ladder.
And here's the problem. They've announced four people. If you look at the WWE roster for former WWE champions, you're really, really limited.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, run them down if you have them.
It's Triple H, Brock Lesnar, The Undertaker, The Miz,
Randy Orton,
and Randy Orton, and that's it.
Because you have Alberto Del Rio and Sheamus, but they're feuding for the World Heavyweight Title. Randy Orton suspended, and The Miz is filming The Marine. Unless you're bringing Big Dave Batista back for this match.
Oh, God, that would be the biggest train wreck I've ever seen.
This is going to be the worst Money in the Bank ladder match ever, and I don't think they can add any more people to it, and that's an issue.
Yeah, you know, was Rey Mysterio ever a WWE champion, or was he just World Heavyweight?
No, he was WWE champion.
He was a WWE champion.
So they could add Mysterio, I guess, but beyond that, they're going to be fucking struggling to find anybody else. They're just going to randomly go and be like, Ted DiBiase Sr., is going to be in the match because he bought a title at one time. And it's technically the lineage.
Technically.
But, I mean, I don't understand. I always thought that Money in the Bank was to bring that next level, that guy that they were looking to bring to the next level and bring him forward. And that they use the younger guys because they can do those kinds of sort of spot monkey fests and take the bumps and make the match interesting and exciting. So the fact that they're limiting it to former WWE champions, I think, is just really kind of stupid. Because one, you don't have that many. Two, it's like they've already achieved the top. Why would they care? You know, it's like, other than John Cena needs a match, we're going to stick him in Money in the Bank. Oh, let's make it WWE champions only.
And that kind of kills it right there. And with just these four people in the match, it's like, oh my God, you have no one. It's going to be a fatal four-way match, and eventually they'll use the ladder. And there's no drama. There's no drama in this match. None at all. Chris, let's go with the scenario. Kane doesn't win. Big Show wins. Yay, Big Show wins. I don't care.
Big Show wins, we're all doomed.
John Cena wins. Woo-hoo.
Which seems to be what I that's my guess, is that Cena wins.
And then I'll throw this scenario out. Chris Jericho wins and then disappears. And then that's actually the most interesting point of the whole thing, is Chris Jericho wins, disappears, and when he comes back random and wins the title. That's the only... Because then you won't know when he's coming back, and he just shows up and wins the whole thing.
But here's my question to you on that. Given the way that Chris Jericho has been booked over the past few months since his return, does he still have, I guess, the credibility at this point to hold the belt? I mean, he hasn't won a pay-per-view match since he arrived, I don't think. Or he's been on a losing streak. So at this point, can Jericho be considered a legitimate title holder and champion given his loss record since his return?
He would have to go over Cena. He would have to go over some names that actually matter in order to really, really be able to be considered, oh, that absolutely is a legitimate WWE champion. I think he needs to rebuild some of his credibility, is really what it is.
Yeah, because here's my thing. As far as Cena being in the match, okay, yeah, John Cena being in the match, fine. Stick him in the Money in the Bank. That's the most logical, easy thing to do with him. Because then he'll go into a feud with whoever for SummerSlam. But I don't want Cena to win. Just because at this stage, Cena doesn't need the belt. He doesn't need it to be over. He doesn't need it to make it legitimate. He just doesn't need it. He's bigger than the belt at this point. I mean, they've made that blatantly obvious by putting him in every main event over the WWE Championship since TLC.
Mm-hmm. But he's gonna get it, and we're gonna have Cena in the main event of SummerSlam, because he's gonna do the honorable thing and cash in and tell the person when he's gonna do it.
Oh, that's so stupid.
But I'm gonna take this into a little different direction, and this is never gonna happen. I'm telling you now, it's never gonna happen. But let's go back to the whole Brock Lesnar storyline. Since we need a couple WWE champions in this match, Brock Lesnar on Monday night announces he's going to be in Money in the Bank, because he's a former WWE champion. Put Hunter in the match. Now you got six people, you got a storyline, you got a clusterfuck. You have a reason for it to be there. Let Brock Lesnar win the Money in the Bank. And use it as a way to hold up the company, saying at any moment he can cash in and take the belt and, you know, go the fuck home with the belt. Kind of play off the whole Punk angle from last year. It'll never happen, but, you know, would it be such a bad thing if Brock Lesnar is your Money in the Bank holder?
No, it wouldn't. I think it would be perfectly fine as a plot device.
The only thing that terrifies me is Brock Lesnar in a Money in the Bank ladder match.
Oh, can you imagine him F5ing that ladder and just hard way taking out everybody?
Yes, that's what scares me. Because, you know, there's Brock Smash, and then there's Brock Fly, because Brock likes to go up in the air. And he doesn't come down that gracefully. Just saying.
That's actually one of my favorite things from the Brock book, is his explanation as to why that actually happened. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't want him to do that. Like, the guy, it was Patterson that was sitting there putting together a match, and he's like, we really don't want you to do this. And Brock's like, no, this is WrestleMania. This has to be the moment. And so they had him do this over and over again off the top rope, and he did it like 10 times flawlessly on a crash pad. And they're like, okay, well, you go ahead and do it, because you clearly are able to do this. Brock forgot that they were going to work the corners pretty much all match long, so the corners were covered in sweat. So when he gets to the top rope, he slips on the top rope because of all the sweat that they've pushed all, smeared all over the pad, and he just slips and kiboshes himself, brainbusters himself off the top rope. I'm like, oh, bad tactical move.
Oh, Omega, that's wrong and yet awesome. Omega just sent me a message that says, if Brock climbs the ladder, I want little old school fighter planes to circle around his head.
<That's> awesome. I could just see Brock, like, shooting lasers out of his mouth.
It would make sense, because then you could set up the match with Triple H at SummerSlam further, or build that storyline further if they don't set it this week. But Brock in that match terrifies me, and Hunter is not going to bump. We all know Hunter is not going to bump. So that takes you back kind of to that same problem of you have Jericho and more than likely Kane taking all the bumps in this match.
And wrestling a ladder.
And wrestling a ladder. So it's, you know, it's like Rock said, it's going to be a clusterfuck. It really is.
Now, in their defense, the SmackDown version of the Money in the Bank, much worse.
Yeah, but we're going to not touch on that tonight.
I want the writing team tested for drugs.
Yeah.
I demand the wellness policy be enforced on that one. Go read the SmackDown spoilers if you don't mind reading spoilers, because I think they're talking about it Sunday on Russell Talk Radio.
Yes.
Go read the spoilers and see if they make any fucking sense.
Or just watch the show tomorrow night.
Watch the show. It's going to be on tomorrow night. Oh, yeah, it's Friday. Sorry, I forgot what day it was.
Yeah, we're live. It's The Rack, Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tell your friends. We're awesome. I'm gonna transition out of this a little bit, because this is what I want to get into. Our whole question of the night. Because I have a theory I want to put out there, and yeah.
Yeah, you've been foaming at the mouth. Like, the entire show, he's been wanting to get to this, so I'll let Rock take this one.
Yeah. Our question of the night. We posed this out on Twitter and Facebook earlier today. Who do you think the new general manager will be for WWE when they announce it on July 23rd? You've had a lot of responses. Let me ask you, Brian, first. Who do you think it's going to be?
The next Raw GM. It depends if they stick with the whole it has to be an ex-general manager thing.
I think that's just to build up to it.
Yeah, I think it is too. I think that it's going to be someone new. Who I'd like it to be is somebody like Ted DiBiase Sr. I think Ted Sr. would be perfect in the role, because he hasn't been on screen in a long time. He would be perfect as an authority figure. You know he can talk. Ted Sr. would be great within the role. Who do I think it's going to be? I would not be surprised if it's Heyman. I also would not be surprised if it's Mike Adamley. I would be surprised if it's Mike Adamley, but I just wanted to put that out there so that they would never do it in a million years.
you also put on Facebook Ric Flair.
Oh, if they actually are intent on bringing in Flair, Ric Flair would be a guy that I could see them doing for the GM. It's not somebody who I would personally pick, but I could see them putting Flair on there.
Before I run down to everyone else's pick, Lindsay, you have an opinion?
I have a really funny feeling it's going to be Heyman on the 23rd, leading up to SummerSlam, and then after SummerSlam, they name a new GM.
Let's get into that before I go off. Let's get into this theory we had.
With a pipe wrench.
Yeah, with the pipe wrench. Colonel Mustard in the library with the pipe wrench. Basically, the theory is that more than likely what we're thinking is happening is that Heyman, in order to kind of sort of appease Heyman and shut him up and do the lawsuits, they name Heyman as a GM, or someone names Heyman, one of the former, either Heyman gets power and he names himself GM or something to that effect.
The board of directors basically will name Paul Heyman at the end of the Raw 1000th episode the new general manager of Raw and SmackDown as a settlement of some sort for the lawsuit.
Right.
And fanboys across the internet will have raging hard-ons.
if they just don't come right there. And that helps to build the Brock Hunter storyline leading into SummerSlam, with the stipulation being that Hunter wins, Heyman is gone, the lawsuits are gone, all that kind of stuff, and if Heyman wins or Brock wins, then they retain power and Hunter is their bitch. And so, you know, obviously Hunter wins, Brock goes back out, Heyman leaves, and then that leaves them in the quandary of, well, what the hell do we do now? We just named a new GM, and now we have to name another one. So
they bring in Sean O'Hare. He's not telling you something you don't know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, before Rock gets to go off on his theory, because he is going to go off.
Everything we've done in this segment all going to tie together. Just watch.
Yeah, just watch. I would actually like to see, and everybody's going to roll their eyes because it's the obvious choice. I would love to see them use Taker. I heard that. just imagine it, though. Just picture it in your head. The Undertaker walks out in a suit and has gone corporate.
Oh, my God. I might actually cry.
Just think about this. Think of that new character direction. No, it's just... we were talking about this last night, and we're looking at the rosters, and we're looking at who they could potentially bring in to do this. And it's got to be somebody with authority. It's got to be somebody believable, somebody that nobody would question. And only two names popped into my head. The Undertaker and Shane McMahon.
I would love Shane. That would be awesome. It won't happen.
Yeah, it won't happen. It's not going to happen in a million years for either of them. But just, I thought about it, and I'm like, I would really love to see both.
I would buy Undertaker if he didn't come out in a suit, but he came out in a smoking vest, so we could call him Leisure Taker. We had Biker Taker, the Undertaker, now we have Leisure Taker. He's taking it easy.
And he comes to the ring in a golf cart.
Yes. Piloted by Chavo.
Yes.
I still want Judge under the Taker.
Yes, Judge under. Yes, we have to talk about our other theory after this is over, but... Okay, Rock. We gave our opinions. Go.
Oh, before I go, let's tell what everyone else said. We had a Hunter. We had a Crazy McMahon. We had Teddy Long. We had a Randy Savage. We had Colt Cabana.
I'd really like them to bury the hatchet with Randy Savage and give it to Wade.
We had a Ric Flair. We had another Teddy Long. Some guy in a wheelchair really didn't give us an answer. I took the shot.
Ouch.
Well, he did it. He hemmed and hawed for 4 comments. But yeah, here's my theory. Yeah, where to begin? This past Monday night on Raw, they did something new. They told us to play along with their hashtags. AJ Kane, AJ Punk, AJ Bryan, and AJ All. The new general manager will be us. Via Twitter. They're going
to... Oh my god, I could see that happening, you fucker.
We had this whole conversation about who the GM is. I was telling Lindsay, okay, this person won't work because, you know, the Tay fan won't know them, they don't have enough credibility. I disproved like 5 different people. And then at the end of the conversation, I was going, wait a minute. Twitter. Because... It got me thinking. They announced in their press release with Stephanie McMahon it's going to be an interactive show.
Yeah.
The new general manager of Raw and SmackDown is going to be us via Twitter, via polls. We are going to control everything. We're being put in charge. And oh my god, fuck, I don't want to see this happen. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Because they got us. They really got us, if you think about it. Because everybody went to Twitter and used their fucking hashtags.
Yeah,
we didn't
they
even
did.
Think about it. We just did. They played us like puppets. and it's all totally going to fucking happen.
We're all doomed.
Oh, Jesus.
Because if you think about it, they're involved with Twitter. They have a really good relationship with them. They're actually, I think, paying Twitter money, or Twitter's paying them money or something. Or either way, for this whole content thing.
Yeah.
Somebody's getting money from somebody.
The GM is you. The new Raw GM is you. Oh, Jesus Christ.
But think about it. Every other GM has become corrupt with power and greed, and Twitter is almost the perfect, benign, uncorruptible thing. Because it's a thing. It's a group of people. It's not one individual.
So does that mean that, like, every time, like, before a match happens, we're going to hear bloop, and then Michael Cole is going to get up to a little podium and open the computer and be like, I have an email from the Raw GM, you.
I have received a tweet, and I quote from @BloodyB on Twitter, this is the match that's going to happen. Midget on a pole. #Raw.
I mean, think about it, because Twitter is like the perfect, the smart people know how to track the hashtags, so they can throw up hashtags the day of Monday Night Raw. Okay, these are the matches we're thinking of having, everybody decide, and then they can just go ahead and book whatever the fuck they want, because nobody's gonna track it. Nobody's gonna keep an eye on it, so they'll be like, oh yeah, you know, 80% of the fans voted for this, and, you know, 10% voted for this, and 10% voted for this, so.
And if you think that they're going to actually rely on the actual people, you know that they might do it the first week, but the second that Zack Ryder's in a world title match, that shit is done. Like, they are going to work that. They will work the Twitter stuff all the time.
Well, before you continue, we have a phone call. Caller, welcome to the rack.
What?
Hello?
Hello, welcome.
Welcome. Can you tell me if Kid Cash is going to be wrestling for TNA? I missed it tonight.
He was not on Impact tonight. He may be involved in the tournament to crown a new X Division champion.
Well, he's a friend of mine, and he told me that he re-signed, and I've been waiting on him to come on TV, and I haven't seen him.
Where are you from?
Nashville, Tennessee.
I can tell you now. Have you ever heard of Crossfire Wrestling?
Yeah, I'm a good friend with Marcus.
You should check him out. Kid Cash is going to be wrestling on that event.
Yeah, he'll be there on the Olive Fork show.
Awesome. What was your name again?
My name's Delaney.
Nice to hear of you. Thank you for calling. You have any other questions for us?
No, I work for the business. I was just calling to see how TNA was doing. Thank you.
No problem.
Sweet. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling.
Welcome to Ask the Rack.
# Ask the Rack.
By the way, I don't know if you're still listening. I wasn't able to get this in, but Cash was on the last pay-per-view.
Yes, he was.
So he may show up on the Destination X pay-per-view. So just kind of keep an eye out for him. He may come up in the X Division series, or he may turn up on the pay-per-view.
Yes.
But there we go. We have a new segment for your show now. Ask the Rack.
Ask the Rack.
Or as we call it, my eyes are up here.
You've made your choice. You know you have. Don't even lie. So where were we? We were talking about Twitter and them working Twitter. That's right.
Yeah, I really do think that they'll allow it to happen as long as they believe that what the fans are doing is in the best interest of the company. The day that Vince or anyone else in that company decides, anyone else of power in that company decides that the fans are not doing what's best for the company, is the day that they put a kibosh on that and they start working the shit out of it.
I don't even think they're going to do that. I think they're going to work it from day one. It's, like I said, nobody, no average fan, I should say, is going to figure out how to track a Twitter hashtag. So they're not going to be able to get the statistics on it. Now, the above average fan can. Rock knows how to do that shit because he was tracking our hashtags. So it's not entirely impossible to figure out and do. But I don't think they're actually going to put the control of their show into the fans' hands. It's going to be, okay, well, we're going to throw these hashtags out. This is the one we want to use. This is the match we want to book. So we'll just make up some figures to justify it, and then there's the show. They're just not going to have an on-air authority figure unless you have Michael Cole reading off a computer.
Who would you like to see have a 30-minute interview? John Cena, Alex Riley, or Chavo Guerrero? Hashtag.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, this is just their excuse for being able to continue to do what they want and get rid of a on-air authority figure for right now. Because we looked it up, and the Raw GM, the anonymous Raw GM, ran for a year.
Yes, he did.
And I'd be really sad if they don't bring him back for this.
Oh, I fully expect it. I expect that within the next few weeks it's going to happen. Like, either the week before the 1000th Raw or the week prior to that, like, that one. It all depends on if they are able to consider Austin a GM, since he was a sheriff.
No, he was he was co-GM with Bischoff.
Okay, so if Sheriff Austin comes out, then Austin can be the GM for one night, and that'll be the one before the 1000th episode.
No, I think he would be the 1000th episode. I think Austin would be that guy on that show.
Yeah, we think he's going to show up on the 23rd.
And let him run amok the whole night.
Amok.
But yeah, you just think about it. It's going to happen. As much as I hate it, it's going to happen. And I want to be wrong. I've been right about a lot of their shit. I want to be wrong on this.
Now, going back to what we were talking about before, where we were saying Heyman gets put in as GM by the board of directors, do we see potentially Heyman reinstating Laurinaitis, or the board of directors reinstating Laurinaitis to keep an eye on Heyman, or to appease Heyman, and then once Heyman is gone, Laurinaitis takes over as the mouthpiece for the computer, or do we see Cole taking back over for the mouthpiece as the computer?
I think Johnny Ace is done. I think they've played that character to where they wanted it to be, and I think they're done with Johnny Ace now. I really do think that, like, that probably Laurinaitis probably said, I really don't want to be on the road anymore, guys. Like, I really, old for this shit.
Yeah, he's on the road every weekend right now.
Oh, wrestling. Right now he is, but I'm thinking that he probably said, I don't want to be on camera anymore. Like, this is too much for my poor aging heart.
I could see them bring him back with Heyman, and the finish is SummerSlam, and then everything starts anew after that. Just him working with Heyman, and he's the one who got Heyman in charge or something, maybe, with the board or something, I don't know.
What Triple H should do is never punch anyone again because they all rise to power. Anyone he punches in the face becomes GM. Stop it.
Seriously.
Pretty much, yeah. If you really think about it, it's kind of, that means technically then Taker should rise to power.
If that theory is correct.
Correct. Than anybody he's wrestled in, the last couple years?
He's given him the rub. The GM rub.
GM rub.
One day shalt be GM.
Thou shalt be GM whether you want to be or not.
It's like pulling the sword from the stone, only it's pulling Triple H's fist from your face.
Yeah.
Could make a really bad joke, but I won't.
Chicken.
Well, does that mean Stephanie's pussy is going to rise to power? Yes, I went there. I really went there.
He doesn't punch her in the face. He chokes her. She likes to be choked.
Jeff, maybe it was not so much that it was the game that was short. Maybe it was that the field I was playing on was just too damn big.
No!
You don't know what I mean? Let me tell you what I mean.
No, don't. No. Please don't. Now, look at these crude, crass people. Boy, kill them.
Let me tell you what I mean. Let me make it a little more clear for you. You see, Steph, even a 747 looks small when you're flying it into the Grand Canyon.
What in the world?
The fact that you had that queued up scares the crap out of me.
Somebody get that man a diving board.
Well, I think we've exhausted that topic. Do we want to move on to the last one?
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, that's... So, changing gears, completely changing gears, we're going to kind of go back to TNA. Mm-hmm. And Brian, I don't know how much you watch.
I watch it.
Okay. Yay! Sweet. So, the Bound for Glory series. Everybody is assuming at this point that James Storm is the shoe-in to win, and he's going to go on to face Bobby Roode at the pay-per-view. My question is this. Say he doesn't. Say they kind of do the swerve and Storm doesn't end up winning. Out of the group that is in that series, who do you foresee winning and going on to face Bobby Roode?
That's a good question, because honestly, I looked at the roster, it's like, you got Daniels, you got Kurt Angle, you got the Pope, Robbie E., Magnus, Samoa Joe, Mr. Anderson. Now I'm forgetting the rest of the people on there. But you have a whole bunch of people that you've seen in the title picture. And it's like, okay, Bobby Roode, AJ Styles, good match. Really don't care. Bobby Roode, Kurt Angle, would be a good match. Been there, done that. And you could say that about Hardy and RVD. You've been there, done that. You've also done the Storm, but the people want Storm. And he's going to be something new as the top dog. I don't know who else would you would give it to. I honestly...
What about Joe? Because if you look at the standings, James Storm's on top. Who's right behind him?
Joe is right behind him, I would believe, at this point.
I'm actually looking at the rankings. Joe is right behind him.
With his big submission victory tonight. Joe's a tough one because they're inconsistent with him.
They're inconsistent with him, but they seem to be really high on him right now. And he's been putting out really good matches lately.
But 3 months from now, where will his head be at?
If they keep pushing him, he'll probably be in the same place, if not a better place. If they demote him, he'll go to shit again, essentially. I mean, I'm not saying that Joe has to win the title, but he goes on to face Roode at Bound for Glory.
That one I would believe out of them all. That's the only one else I would care about, honestly.
Because, as much as I love James Storm, and if anybody knows me, I'm one of the biggest James Storm marks you will ever meet in your life.
No way.
I'm going to ignore that. I've seen Rude versus Storm, and they do great matches. They truly do, but I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see James Storm win the title again, but I don't necessarily want to see him take it off of Bobby Roode. I would rather them put Roode in a different storyline or a new storyline and go forward with it. And maybe have Storm in the title picture, but maybe take it off of Joe or take it off of whomever wins it from Joe. I just, to see, because Storm was in the main event at Slammiversary, and that's one of their other big pay-per-views. So to have him in the main event of Bound for Glory, it's kind of like, eh?
Lockdown, he was in the main event.
Lockdown, that's right.
I think Storm is your obvious choice, no matter what. Like, I think it, because Storm got screwed in the Lockdown match. And so Storm, and with that being said, I do believe that James Storm is the shoo-in to win. The one person I would like to see win if Storm doesn't, which is the gist of the question, to be something completely different and to show that they're getting behind new stars and trying to push new people, I'd really like to see them go and push the Pope.
And you laughed at me for that.
I did. And, let Brian finish this point.
Sorry.
I think the Pope has a lot of charisma. Charisma-wise, he's fantastic. He's not terrible in the ring. He's not great, but he's not terrible in the ring. And Bobby Roode is really good at carrying people. He's been carrying people for a while now in TNA, both with his tag team work and as a singles competitor.
Right.
So pretty much anyone you put Roode in the ring with is going to be good. And if you give the title to the Pope, you can then move it to somebody else down the line to move it over to James Storm. You can move it from the Pope to Bully Ray, or you can move it from the Pope to Christopher Daniels, and then have Storm triumphantly win the title to be the face that finally comes through.
Right. The only reason I left at Lindsay last night when she brought up the Pope versus Bobby Roode in their quote-unquote WrestleMania main event.
Right now, absolutely. Right now, if you were to say, like, the main event of Bound for Glory, or the main event of Bound for Glory is going to be Bobby Roode versus the Pope, I would say you're fucking crazy. If you push the Pope the right way, and mind you, that means they're going to have to get on board real quick. They're going to have to start pushing him now and start putting him on TV and giving him mic time and getting the fans to care about it. If you give the fans a reason to care about him, then yes, because James Storm was in the same position. James Storm was a tag team wrestler that was given a chance on the mic to get himself over as a single star, and it worked to the point that people got fully behind him. Same thing with Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode was a tag team wrestler, and when he first got his big singles push, people were kind of like, huh? And then it worked. That character slowly got over with the fans because you made the people care about him, because you consistently put him on TV and you put him in those packages that made you want to see this guy wrestle and you wanted to see him succeed. You can do it with the Pope.
Oh, I know you can do it with him, but I think they blew their chance when they pushed him a year or so ago, where he was getting that big push, and then there was no payoff. The payoff didn't turn out so good for him. He was feuding with somebody. He was in the main event mix.
D-Von. For a while.
No, this was before D-Von. He was in the main event mix.
Oh, okay.
This was before that. He was in the main event mix. I think he was heading in the Lockdown. I think. Anyway, but this was before D-Von, and then he got sidetracked into D-Von, so the payoff was like, came back and started messing around with D-Von. It was like, I don't know. I think the bloom is off the rose as far as the Pope goes, as a top guy.
And ultimately, though, if you're not going to go with somebody new, and you just really just care about the buy rate, Jeff Hardy, period. Like, he's your biggest marketable star.
Right.
You put Jeff Hardy in there with him.
Right, because you would buy that. Because, you know, they can't do it this year with Sting.
Thank God.
Yeah, I gotta say, the fact that Sting's out of the main event makes me very, very happy. Just saying. No offense, Sting.
Oh, no, I love Sting as a specific performer. I think at this point in his career, he works great outside of a title match.
Yeah, one final news tidbit we should mention. This concern is Bound for Glory. Next week, they're going to tell us where they're going. And it's a city they've never been to before.
It's going to be Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Exactly. They're going to tell us a city, and it's not going to be a big-time city, but they're going to push it to the moon, the direct opposite of WWE. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's perfect. But, yeah, I'm glad they're venturing out in new markets, because the Dallas market worked out good for them for Slammiversary.
And if they keep building their product and building their shows towards these pay-per-views and they get people interested and they make people want to see it, I think that will help tremendously for them. Because part of it is they go out, but they really don't do anything to build to it. It's just kind of like, it's another TNA show. I mean, they really built hard for Slammiversary, and they made you want to watch it. They're making you want to watch Destination X. I would hope that they continue to do that, where they keep building these feuds and make them very strong.
You mean a wrestling show is building on their free shows to a show that you want to pay for? That's a shocking concept I've never heard of.
Who knew that could ever happen?
Logical booking? What?
What's that? What is that?
Logic in wrestling? I didn't think they went together.
Speaking of logical booking, let's just transition. On July 12th, we're doing another rebooking segment here on the rack.
We are. If you'd like to submit for that, please send them to media@wildtalkradio.com. Please limit them to one or two pages, bullet points, preferably.
Pretend it's a resume.
Yeah, pretend it's a resume. We love you, wrestling fanatic, but please no more four-page.
I'm gonna put this out in a little bit. Give us bullet points, and if you want to write out a detailed story, we're also going to put it on the Facebook page of Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, so everyone can read the complete story. But for us, just bullet point it so we can read it on the air.
Yeah, please. That would be very wonderful. But the topic is... book Karma's return to her winning the Divas title.
Yes.
And this is wide open. You can do whatever you want with it. You can bring in whomever you want with it. There are no limitations on this, aside from length of what we have to read. So we would love to get the fan submissions. We're trying to make this show more fan-friendly. We want to hear what you guys think, what you guys want to hear. So please submit those topics as far as the rebooking. We also want to get discussion topics from you. You know, for our hour two discussions, send us stuff you want us to talk about. You know, send us news stories. We troll the sheets. We come up with the stuff when we're booking the show on Wednesdays. But we'd love to hear what you guys want to hear, too, because we want to tune the show to you, because we just sit here and talk. You guys have to sit there and listen to us.
Yeah, so we want you to listen to what you want to listen to, not what we want to talk about. That makes sense.
Right, so...
so if you want us to do a whole two-hour show on Eve Torres, well, you can go fuck yourself. But we'll talk for 5 minutes about Eve Torres. We're not going to 2 hours. We want to, you know, build a show around what you guys want. And that's the goal of this show, to make it different, interactive, and all that fun stuff.
You can modify your rack.
Yes, you can modify the rack. You can give it a boob job. You can put as much content in or out of it as you want. But, again, you can send all that to media@wildtalkradio.com. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio or at Linz Ward, LINSWARD. And we will be happy to put that stuff on. And, yes, it is. It's Taboo Thursday.
But we're not talking about Taboo Tuesday. We're talking about Taboo Thursday.
So, anyway, before we go, though, I know Rock had his little pipe bomb despite the...
Technical malfunction.
Technical difficulties, but is there anything you guys want to sound off on? Any gripes or anything you want to say before we go?
Let Brian go first. Anything bugging you this week about wrestling or anything in general?
If you're going to have John Cena on my television screen, can you not have him talking about Star Wars, please? The end, like that really was painful watching that. I'm like, are you 11? Like, Jericho flat out said exactly what I said. Are you 9 years old? Like, how old are you? What the hell's wrong with you? You said nothing. Nothing of substance. Go away.
This one's not directed at wrestling. This is in general. Training camp for NFL opens in a few weeks. ESPN, do not mention Tim Tebow for the next 3 weeks. Thank you. Please. I don't want to hear anything more about Tim Tebow.
I think you're going to have to take a pipe bomb to ESPN in order for that to happen.
Yeah, dude, I was going to say, training camp starts. It's going to be Sanchez versus Tebow. Who's going to be the quarterback for the Jets?
Stop. Stop talking about Tebow. Stop talking about LeBron. No one cares.
No. No. The thing that's great is that after, like, the first three games when the Jets get blown out time and time again, nobody give a fuck because they'll be 0-3 with either of those quarterbacks.
Yeah, but it's going to be, they go 0-3. Is it time to put Tim Tebow in? Time to put Tim Tebow in. By the way, we're eventually, I know Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show is doing a fantasy draft. We're going to do one on Wild Talk Radio as well, and for football and stuff. So, yeah. We'll get more details out as we get closer to football season. So.
Yeah, it's fucking June. If you want to talk football now, fuck you.
Well, actually, it's just about July, honestly. It's 2 days away from July.
Yeah, it's almost July, man. 4th of July is next week. How scary is that?
Oh, God. Okay. Lindsay, what about you? What's bothering you?
Honestly, I think I'm good today. I don't have any gripes. I really don't.
It must be that week before.
Yeah, I think I got it all out last week. But I think I'm good. But on that note, Brian, do you have anything you want to plug?
Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show. Check us out. Also, go back into the archives. We had another interview with Austin Aries. We are not on this week, July 4th, of course. However, the week after that, July 11th, we will have Adam Pearce on the show. So check us out there. Facebook us. Go to Facebook.com and just type in Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show in the search box, and you'll find us. And vote in the Shoot Back segment. It is a great segment that we do, and we would love to have your input.
Yes, please do. It was an awesome segment. Rock, do you have anything you want to plug?
No, I'm good.
Really, you're good. You have nothing on this network you want to plug.
Okay.
Fuck Wild Talk Radio. Fuck
them. Fine, I'll plug. Saturday night, midnight-ish at CB Radio. We're going to talk about the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Don't know what we're talking about this week, but we'll find stuff. Always do. It's a show. Never know when the people will show up, if they're on time, if they're late. It's CB Radio. It's your only excuse to be home on Saturday night, midnight-ish. Sunday night at Wrestle Talk Radio, join Tim Stein and Megan Mace as they cover the wrestling news of the week. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We're going to talk about Monday Night Raw. It's an easy concept. Tuesday night's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern. Check the Facebook. Alan will tell you who's on the show. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I know big names are coming. Hey, there you go. Jillian Hall's on the show. Thank you, King Kittens. He pays attention. That's a good person. Thank King Kittens for all of his hard work. He's the one who recaps everything. He's the one who writes up, pulls all the quotes that we get out sent to all the news sites, like 411 Mania. And they plug, the interview with Austin Aries. But then we'll be back for the rec. Next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Wild Talk Radio Network on Facebook, WTRProductions.net, CanadianAllPro.com. That's all I got.
All right, well, you can follow me on Twitter, at LinsWard, LinsWard. And if you want to check out my artwork, because I've got my professional portfolio up, you can go to DeviantArt, Google it, and you can go to LinsWard. deviantart.com. That's my professional portfolio, so please check it out. Pass it around. I've got some artwork on there. I'm looking for work. So, yeah.
Shameless.
Yeah, I got a shameless plug. If anybody knows a hookup at WWE to get me a job, greatly appreciate it. But on that note, I think we're out. So on behalf of Brian and Rock, you've been listening to The Rock, brought to you by iBlack.com, and y'all have a good night.